Welcome to episode 372 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. The grass has overthrown. Among the Old Testament prophecies that were fulfilled by Jesus during the final week of his earthly ministry were prophecies by Moses in the books of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, by David in the book of Psalms, and by Daniel, Isaiah, Zechariah, Micah, and Amos. There were at least 28 prophecies fulfilled in the last 24 hours between Jesus' betrayal by Judas and his being laid in a borrowed tomb after the crucifixion. The Passion Week, which is rife with symbolism, foreshadowing, and Old Testament allusion, begins with Palm Sunday. On that day, Jesus rode a donkey, a symbol of peace, into Jerusalem to the cries of the crowd. In fulfillment of the prophecy of Zechariah, Jesus inaugurated his mission of peace and indicated the peace of the kingdom to come. On Monday, Jesus suddenly came to his temple, in fulfillment of Malachi 3 verse 1. And cleanse the temple court of the Gentiles, of money changers, and the livestock market, that the Gentiles might again worship in their designated place, pointing to the kingdom of God in which all people, whether Jew or Gentile, can worship God. On Tuesday and Wednesday, Jesus engaged in temple dialogues, and the Sanhedrin plotted to kill him. On the significance of the next day, Maundy Thursday, which commemorated the Lord's Supper, scholar D.A. Carson writes, "As the people of God in the Old Testament prospectively celebrated in their first Passover their escape from Egypt, anticipating their arrival in the Promised Land, so the people of God here prospectively celebrate their deliverance from sin and bondage, anticipating the coming kingdom." This is what the disciples were doing as they had that final meal with their Lord. Good Friday marked the crucifixion of Christ, which involved unimaginable physical pain, but infinitely greater spiritual pain, highlighted by Christ crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" On Holy Saturday, Jesus rested, as was his custom on the Sabbath, recalling the first Sabbath at the end of creation week on which God rested from his labor. Finally, on Easter Sunday, arguably the climax of history, Jesus bodily resurrected from the dead on the first day of the week and signaled the possibilities for rebirth and recreation, proving that he had power over death and the grave. The observance of this week has become commonplace, and the days from Palm Sunday all the way up through Holy Saturday into Easter Sunday have come to be called Passion Week. The first record of this term comes from the late 1200s, early 1300s. The word passion comes from the noun translation of the verb pasco, appearing in Acts 1 verse 3, in reference to the fact that Jesus showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. There, the word passion means to suffer, particularly in reference to Christ's suffering and death. This week is aptly named because of the passion with which Jesus willingly went to the cross to pay for the sins of his people. The observance of Passion Week is also traditionally known as Holy Week, Greater Week, in reference to God's mighty acts during this week, or Paschal Week, with a focus on the resurrection.
Today's top 10 list.
10 notes about observances of Holy Week or Passion Week.
Number 1.
Holy Week observances likely began in Jerusalem in the earliest days of the church, though the term Holy Week first appears in the writings of 4th century bishops, Athanasius, Bishop of Alexandria, and Epiphanius, Bishop of Constantia.
Number 2.
Initially, only the last 2 days of the week, Good Friday and Holy Saturday, were observed. Later, Maundy Thursday along with Wednesday were added, as were the other days of the week, by mid-4th century.
Number 3.
The first recording of a Holy Week observance was made by Egergia, a Gallic woman who made a pilgrimage to the Holy Land about 381 to 384 AD. In an account of her travels, she wrote for a group of women back in Spain. Egergia describes the Palm Sunday she observed in Jerusalem. All the children who were gathered at the top of the Mount of Olives, including those who are not yet able to walk because they are too young and therefore are carried on their parents' shoulders, all of them bear branches, some carrying palms, other olive branches. And the bishop is led in the same manner as the Lord once was led.
Number 4.
Because of the difficulty in some parts of the world of procuring palms for Palm Sunday, leaves from yew, willow, olive, or other native trees are frequently used. The Sunday was often designated by the names of these trees, such as yew Sunday, or by the general term branch Sunday.
Number 5.
An archaic and infrequently used name for the Wednesday before Easter is Spy Wednesday, named for Judas becoming a spy for the Sanhedrin.
Number 6.
Maundy Thursday is the day before Good Friday. The term Maundy is derived from the Latin word mandatum, commandment. The term refers to the commandment given by Jesus at the Last Supper. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You are also to love one another. It is likely based on a Latin anthem song in Roman Catholic churches on that day. Mandatum novum do vobis.
Number 7.
The historical origins of the good in Good Friday remains unclear. Though some etymologists believe the term good is an archaic form of holy.
Number 8.
In Catholic and Eastern Orthodox traditions, Holy Saturday commemorates the harrowing of hell, the time between his crucifixion and his resurrection when Jesus is said to have descended into hell. This is based on a claim found in the Apostles' Creed that Christ descended into hell. However, as John Piper says, there is no textual basis for believing that Christ Jesus descended into hell. And most Protestants do not believe this claim. The idea that Jesus rested on this day is far more consistent with the word.
Number 9.
In medieval Europe, Christians would abstain from eating eggs and meat during Lent. Eggs laid during that time were often boiled to preserve them and were given as Easter gifts to children and servants. Some traditions claim the Easter egg is symbolic of the resurrection of Jesus, with the shell of the egg representing the sealed tomb and cracking the shell representing the resurrection. Christians in the Middle East and in Greece painted eggs bright red to symbolize the blood of Christ. Note, however, that the egg, an ancient symbol of new life, has been associated with pagan festivals celebrating spring since long before Easter.
Number 10.
The Christian scholar Bede, also known as the Venerable Bede, claimed in his book De Ratione Temporum that Easter was named after Iostre, a pagan goddess of the Saxon people in Northern Europe. Later scholars, however, claim that the term derives from the Anglo-Saxon word Oster, meaning to rise, or for their term for the spring equinox. Some have argued a connection between the name Easter and the name Ishtar, the ancient Babylonian goddess of sex, war, and fertility. While this does not appear to be a historical fact, there is much evidence that there are many pagan rituals and symbols associated with Easter. Father, thank you for the messages from each day of the Passion Week. Messages about peace, about inclusion, about holiness, about faithfulness, about overcoming, about redemption, and so much more. Help us to take these lessons to heart. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.